We begin in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. At our trivia night last week, one of the questions Becca put before the group involved the growing of grapes. Which kind of soil produces the best grapes for the best wine? Soil that's lush and flat, or soil that's rocky and on a hillside? And the answer was the latter. Grapes that grow in a tough soil put down deeper roots, and the taste of the wine that comes from them has more character and taste better. Well, as we hear Jesus in his long speech in the Gospel of John address the disciples at the Last Supper, there is a sense of intense difficulty throughout the meal. Jesus comes to the meal knowing that it is his last meal with the disciples. He forewarns them of the difficulty to come, but has many assurances along the way. And at the end of the meal, he gets up and goes to the garden where he will be arrested. It won't be the same with the disciples any longer after this meal. Everything changes. Well, when John writes his gospel, he is most likely cut off from everyone as he is on the island of Patmos. It was an experience that the early Christians became accustomed to, being cut off from others because they were followers of Jesus. So for Jesus to use the image of pruning and being cut off hits home for people who are cut off themselves. With grapes, the pruning pays off and getting better and better wine. And John reminds through the images of Jesus that being exiled or cut off really isn't the worst thing. Maybe those who are being persecuted, should see themselves not so much as being cut off, but being pruned. Being pruned, that's for a strengthening that makes life better in the end. Jesus says these things relating to himself who will be cut off and who they will be cut off, because it is he who will endure the most intense pruning. As he goes out with them to the Garden of Gethsemane, they will wander off and fall asleep when he is at prayer, and he will need to find them and bring them back. As they are in the garden praying, the authorities come and arrest him. This is the beginning of the most severe pruning of all. Jesus will be tried, and he will be condemned to death. He will be led to the hill, where he will be crucified, and his life will be cut off. He will be pruned from the human race. He is cut off on the cross and left there to hang, where the birds can come and peck at him as though he was a bush in the garden. He is thrown down as one of the prunings that you might prune off from a grapevine and throw down on the ground. Jesus is let down on the ground as well as he comes off the cross. These were the themes that we were hearing about a month ago in the last days of March, when we were having Good Friday and we were having Monday, Thursday, reliving with Jesus and these disciples these last hours. But those days all led to April 1st and the celebration of Easter. They led to the news of a new life and the fruit to be produced, which is the hope of life for all. The cutting off of Jesus has led to the renewed promise of renewed life for all people who come to him. Jesus has come to life so that we might be grafted to him. We are attached to him in faith. As people try to improve upon grapes and take one kind of vine and graft it onto another, we are grafted to Jesus so that we might have the deepest roots of all. His roots are our roots. We are branches extending from him, and the fruits we produce are the fruits of his life being given for the goodness of the world. Jesus' first miracle in John is to miraculously provide wine at a wedding. And when they ran out and it was notable, then he made the wine for everyone, and it was notable how much they made and how they had wine left over. At another miracle, he fed a crowd which had nothing to eat except there were just a few pieces of bread. And so he multiplied that bread miraculously, which turned out to be so abundant there were many baskets full left over. Jesus shows us early on that wine and bread are important for the community gathered in his name. We eat the bread, We drink the wine this morning to know that we are connected to him. Jesus said, "Abide with me as I abide with you." One of the ways Jesus does this is in the act of our receiving this bread and wine at Holy Communion. This meal is one of the ways that this abiding happens. He comes to us, gives himself for us, and strengthens us so that we might be him, living and acting in his stead in the world. This is our communal meal with Jesus and with one another. And it's a primary way that tells us who we are, how we are merged together with one another and with him, and we become one in him. We receive communion from a common cup to show our oneness and community in him. We receive the bread which is broken for us, as he was broken for us when he was pruned on the cross, so that we might be forgiven and receive new life in his name. In some of the other Gospels, we hear more examples about how to live out the love of Jesus. In Matthew, we hear more specifics, say in the Sermon on the Mount, for example. But with Jesus speaking through John, we have a very simple yet complex way of speaking, because he says over and over again, as we heard in the first lesson, love one another. Jesus says that everyone will know that we are followers because of their love. Those who show his kind of love for one another will be ones who demonstrate him. They will know we are Christians by our love, John says, as this line in the song goes. So our living out this love is the harvest. We grow, but grapes on the vine don't do any good for anyone unless they are harvested. Jesus says, he is the vine, we are the branches. We are the ones who grow and flourish, and we produce the fruit. And as plants take on energy from the sunlight and convert it to give growth and health, we receive the energy of God, and we grow and produce fruit in the world as we love one another. When we hear this passage, we know that Jesus is preparing his disciples for his departure, and he wants to assure them of his presence even when life gets hard. We know that it happens, and years later, when John writes this, he addresses people who feel like they have been cut off themselves. So John is offering them a way to interpret their lives. It's not so much a cutting, he says, but it is a pruning. They have the promise. Jesus is with you, he says. Jesus is for you, John is saying, abiding in you, and he will not let you go. The pruning you are feeling will make for better things down the road. And we may feel this way ourselves, that is, pushed and pulled and maybe even pruned beyond bearing. We may be a single mom or dad struggling to make ends meet and providing a nurturing environment for the kids while struggling with profound loneliness ourselves. Or we may be the kid who is cyberbullied for so long just for being different, that he or she is beginning to believe what the haters say about him or her. We may be the professional whose employment was terminated, and despite all the headlines saying that the economy is robust and that employment is full and unemployment is very low, we have no decent job prospect. Or we may be the one who maybe was recently bereft, and maybe unexpectedly so, and we're going through a grieving process, and we feel like it's really hard to bear. Or we may be the one by a spouse or with a spouse who is receiving care every day because of brain disease and not having a good time, and we have to bear this and say goodbye in the middle of it. It's hard to go through. We know that not just the early Christians, but we and people around us feel cut off, cut down, mowed down by life and by circumstances. And John reminds us that Jesus is with us, holding us, abiding with us, loving us, and not letting us go. When we see the hard times more as pruning than we do as death, we have hope that new life is ahead. Sometimes we feel pushed and pulled and pruned beyond bearing by trying to make a budget, stay in the black. Or maybe it's really hard to settle an argument, and we're having an argument with someone we're just living with, and it's really hard to settle that argument. Or to balance the relationships and responsibilities we have both at work and at home, and it's really a hard balance to come up with. Or trying to be faithful to people who kind of count on us, but yet we're feeling very lonely and set apart ourselves. Jesus' words of comfort and presence are there for us all. He says he abides with us. He is with us and for us and will not let us go. The words, "Abide in me as I abide in you," can be heard as encouragement or maybe even as a threat sometimes if we hear that word, "Abide in me," and we're not doing that the way we think we ought to. But he means "abide in me as I abide in you" as a word of pure promise. They are gracious words of presence. They are words to share, sometimes needing to be shouted in great distress, and other times whispered in moments of quiet fear or vulnerability. "Abide in me as I abide in you." When grapes are planted on marginal soil that's kind of rough, their roots go down very deep. The prophet Isaiah, in our first lesson, wrote about the people of Israel having a deep relationship with God, comparing them to a vineyard. When we think of Jesus abiding with us as we are God's vineyard, we can celebrate the very deep relationship that God has with us. He's planted us deeply. Our roots go deeply in him. And when grapes are pruned, it needs to be done by hand. There are no big machines that go through the grape orchards pruning them. It has to be done plant by plant, branch by branch. We can think of God's pruning in his vineyard, the people of the church, is by God doing it very carefully and God doing it person by person by hand. That is, with very individual care. God cares for us one by one. Jesus abides with us as the one who knows where we are. He's been through the pruning for us. He has suffered what we are to suffer, what we were to suffer, yet he rose and produced the fruit of life. And with that, he abides in us and we in him, so that we might be one with him in God's world, producing the fruit of his vineyard. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.